This morning, I want to start us off with a question. How is your spiritual sight? How is your spiritual sight? Would you say your spiritual sight is very vibrant? You're very in tune to the things of the Spirit? You're very in tune to the things that God wants for you? Or do you feel your spiritual sight is a little dull, a little unclear, maybe a little cloudy, a little uncertain? There's more questions than there are answers. There's more questions than there are you seem to get direction from God. How is that spiritual sight that you have? Because we need to see God at work in our lives. Many of us in this room, you know, we'll have those experiences where there's times when, God, I know exactly what you want me to do. I know exactly what you're showing me. And then there's those other times where we just feel so confused and so, Lord, I just don't understand what it is you're doing. I don't understand what it is you want me to do. What are you trying to show me, Lord? Because God's always trying to show us something. Don't you believe that? God always wants to reveal more of himself to us. And it's our desire and it's our hope that we would come to him and seek after him and be able to see what he's doing. All of us have spiritual blind spots. Maybe in one area of your life, no problem. You're in perfect step with God, perfect step with the Spirit. But then there's other areas you're like, God, I don't know that what you want to do here. I don't know what you're allowing me to do here. Why this door is open or maybe why this door is shut. So being guided in that way. And it reminded me of a song that we've sang many times, Open the Eyes of My Heart. Love that song. It's an older song. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, so that I might see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, so that I might hear you better. And that's the crux of that message, of that song. Is that truly the eyes of our hearts would be opened enough and in tune to God that we would physically see what it is he wants. Because it doesn't matter if these eyes are open, right? It doesn't matter if these eyes can see 20/20 vision. It doesn't matter what these eyes are in tune to. It matters what the heart's in tune to. So our spiritual sight isn't something we do physically. It's something that we must experience spiritually. My all-time favorite verse is in Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to read part of it to you. It says, therefore, we also, it's verse 1, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So the writer of Hebrews is saying, we've got so many faithful Christians, so many faithful followers of God and followers of Christ that have gone before us. Now help us as those that are coming behind those spiritual forefathers, if you will, to follow in those steps, that we too would let that sin, set that sin aside and run with endurance the race that's set before each and every one of us. And then verse 2 has been my life verse. It goes on, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, a desire I would hope all Christians do have, that we truly would desire to look to Jesus. Another translation says it this way, and this is how I learned it when I first became a Christian. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Not only are we looking for Jesus, but our eyes are fixed on him. If we want the eyes of our heart to be open so that we see God, we need to make sure we're looking at Jesus. We need to make sure we're seeing clearly what he is doing and how he is guiding us. Spiritual blindness is this, not seeing Jesus for who he really is. See, you might know who Jesus is. You might understand who Jesus is. But if you're not seeing Jesus for who he really is, as the Savior, as the Messiah, as the one who died on a cross for your sins and the sins of the world, you're not seeing Jesus clearly. And that's the problem we see in Mark chapter 8, is some individuals aren't seeing the full Jesus. They're not getting the full picture, even though he may be standing right in front of him. Even though they've seen him do amazing miracles and cast out demons, they're still missing who Jesus really is. And it brings us to this place of spiritual sight and spiritual blindness. And I want to talk to us this morning about the battle of spiritual blindness, the battle how what we do and how we battle against blindness, because we all want to see clearly. And this is what we're going to look at this morning as we look at really three different people, three people groups, if you will, of encounters that they have with Jesus. So look with me in verse 11 in chapter 8. And again, we're going to read right through verse 26 and get the whole picture. Verse 11 of Mark chapter 8. Then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven. testing him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation." And he left them, and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. They did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, "Take heed. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It's because we have no bread." But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up?" And they said, 12. "Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up?" And they said, 7. And he said to them, "How is it you do not understand?" Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, "I see men like trees walking." Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, "Neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town." So give me your attention here. We see three groups of people. We see the Pharisees, the religious leaders. And we see their heart as they come to Jesus, seeking after a sign. Then we see the disciples in a boat, forgetting to bring bread except for one loaf. And they're hearing Jesus ask them this question, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod." And they misunderstand what Jesus is saying, and they think he's talking about that they only brought one loaf of bread. And then the last little story that Mark gives us really briefly, although it's only written here in the Gospel of Mark, is this encounter he has with the blind man. And seemingly the only miracle that Jesus does where it wasn't a complete miracle the first time he did it. And I do believe it shows us something. And as we look at this, I want us to understand what Jesus is dealing with is spiritual blindness. Each one of these individuals teaches us and shows us a picture of how important it is for us to make sure that we are spiritually in tune with God. And the good news is, at any moment, every single one of us in this room can have absolute perfect spiritual clarity. Listen, if we'll take the time to be still before God and listen to that still small voice. Amen? I mean, we all know it. We all know that it's not something that just happens in the busyness of our life. It's hard to be so busy in your life doing, and then expect you to be able to hear clearly what God's saying. Now, that's not to say be a lazy person and just sit around waiting for God to speak to you and not do anything. No, it's live your life, certainly, but have those quiet times where you spend time with God and say, "Speak to me, Lord." The first group of people we're going to talk about is the Pharisees. You got to love this group. And I've kind of categorized this group as chosen blindness. See, there's blindness that we have, spiritual blindness, that just kind of happens in life. But these are ones that are choosing not to believe who Jesus is. They are asking Jesus for a sign. And now they're not asking for a miracle. We look at sometimes the Bible when it says a sign, we're thinking that they want some hocus pocus and Jesus to do something. Listen, the Pharisees have seen Jesus heal. They've seen him heal the sick. They've seen him cast out demons. They've seen him restore sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. They've seen miracle after miracle after miracle, but yet they stand before Jesus and they say what? "Give us a sign from heaven that you are who you are, that you have what authority you have." They're questioning his authority. And notice the Bible says this, they begin to dispute, which another word for that is question. They were questioning with Jesus, seeking a sign. Notice what it says. Testing him. There were some scriptures in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 13 and in chapter 18, that speak about false prophets. And if there's false prophets, They're to be stoned. They're to be put to death. So the Pharisees, in their religious stance, don't want to be open to what Jesus is, don't want to be open to the more than 350 prophecies that were spoken of Jesus, the Messiah, coming in the Old Testament. They didn't want to hear that. They just want Jesus to give them some heavenly proof of who he is. Don't we, from time to time, have a Pharisaical attitude? From time to time, don't we ask God, God, just show me a sign. If you would just show me, Lord, if you would just make it absolutely perfectly clear, when Jesus is saying, I've told you I'll never leave you or forsake you, I've told you I'm going to guide you and direct you, I've told you I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit inside you to help you in your life, and what more proof do you need? And that's the beauty of this picture. Chosen blindness. The Pharisees want to catch him. They want to put him and trick him. And we sometimes stand and go, God, just make me have a sign. And, you know, sometimes this picture here makes clear sense. We want God to open up the heavens, and we want God to say, Pastor Rob, go here. Okay, that's God. I believe if it said, Pastor Rob, go here, I'd be like, who wrote that? We would question even that. That truly, what kind of sign would we need to know that it was God? See, I've found in my life, and maybe you've experienced it yourself, the greatest sign that God can give us of us being in his will is that peace that surpasses understanding. When you're at perfect peace, keep moving. God has the ability to stop you, to lead you, to guide you. And I've always said, listen, God can really use a moving target. God is better at using you as you move, feeling sensed by moving and guided by the Spirit than if you just do nothing. Now, I've told people also, if you're not sure, if you don't have that peace, don't do anything. See, our problem is many times we just want to do something. We want to fix the problem. We want some action because we don't like stillness. In fact, if I just sat here and didn't say anything for a little while, within probably about 10 seconds, we'd all be a little uncomfortable. Be like, he's lost his mind. He doesn't know where he's at. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Because what? We're so used to information right away, right? All the time, we need that information. All the time we're looking for, and we want God to act in the same way, and guys, God does not act that way. In fact, God acts the opposite way. He wants you to know, and Jesus here standing before the Pharisees, and he looks at him and says, you want a sign? I'm the Messiah. I've done all these good things, and that's the thing that absolutely amazes me about the Pharisees. They're so hard-hearted, and they're so blind that they're missing Jesus being God, doing the things that he was doing. Missing that. And that's a tragedy for us when it comes to, you know, breaking this blindness that we have. It's like, Lord, I just need to trust you. I just need to trust you in this season. I need to trust you in this thing that you're doing in my life. I don't know where you're at, but God knows exactly where you're at. God, Jesus sees into their hearts. In fact, if you look at the next verse, verse 11 or 12, but he sighed deeply in his spirit. Jesus is so bothered by their heart. He is so deeply sorrowful because what? He says, why is it this generation seeks after a sign? And guys, he's not talking to us. He's talking about the nation of Israel, the hard-hearted Jews when Jesus himself in the flesh was there. And they're saying, why is your heart so hard? Why do you seek after a sign when I am the sign? Jesus was the sign, and he revealed himself to them. Jesus is sighing in himself because these are spiritual leaders. These were the Pharisees. These were the ones that were supposed to make sure that people were keeping the law according to what the law said. And these are the spiritual leadership, and they're blind to the Messiah? That is tragic, isn't it? I want you to listen to this story. An elderly woman on a busy street corner was confused and hesitant to cross because of the heavy traffic. Finally, a gentleman came up to her and asked if he could cross the street with her. Gratefully, she took his arm, but grew progressively more alarmed as he zigzagged randomly across the street to the blare of horns and screeching of locked brakes. On the opposite curb, she angrily said, "You almost got us killed. You walk like a blind man." To which he replied, "I am. That's why I asked if I could walk with you." Oops. This is the same thing that these spiritual Pharisees, these spiritual leaders, they were blind people leading the blind. That's what Jesus called them. The blind are leading the blind. If the spiritual leaders, if the people that you have guiding you spiritually in your life, and that's pastors, that's ministers, that's other Christians that have been there for you, if those people are not showing you and guiding you around the path of righteousness, then you're on the wrong path. And so here are these spiritual leaders, and this is why Jesus is so distraught. This is why Jesus' heart is so heavy, because they were the ones that were supposed to be giving direction to the children of Israel. You know, we talk about, you know, doubting Thomas. You remember doubting Thomas? After Jesus had risen from the dead, he's like, I'm not going to believe unless I can put my finger in his side. And what does Jesus say? Come here, Thomas. Put your finger in my side. And then he looks at me and says, blessed are you who believe and have seen, but more blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Guys, if we're going to really battle this blindness in our lives, we just must walk in complete and total spiritual connection with God. Not choosing blindness, but choosing to believe, choosing to have faith. God honors faith. He does not like people that are hard-hearted towards him, and that's what he's seeing in them. He's seeing them wanting something to prove who he is. And the reason Jesus says, no sign's going to be given to you, is because those who seek after a sign, those who seek after proof of who God is, it's never enough. When is it enough? You're always going to want proof. The next time you want something from God, you're going to say, prove it. The next time you want something from God, you're going to say, prove it. The more you crave a sign, the more you're going to want signs. The more you have faith, the more you believe. One of my favorite areas of scripture also in the book, in the Bible, is in Judges chapter 6 and 7. It's the story of Gideon. If you know this story, it was one of the first areas of scripture that I actually taught from a pulpit. And it's this young man Gideon, young boy Gideon, he's actually in a cave threshing wheat, okay, because the Midianites were attacking Israel and they were taking all their food and all their crop. And so he's in the cave threshing wheat, trying to get some food. And an angel of the Lord comes to him and says, oh, mighty man of valor, God has heard your prayers, and God is going to use you to deliver the children of Israel from the Midianites. Well, Gideon looks at God, and I love his response. He basically says, I'm going to paraphrase, you've got the wrong number. He says, I'm the least of all the tribes, and I'm in the least of my tribe. So basically, God goes to the bottom of the barrel and says, you're the one I'm going to use to deliver the children of Israel. Isn't that funny how God does that? God does that because he doesn't want us to rely on our abilities. He doesn't want us to rely upon proof. He wants us to have faith and believe. Has God used you? Has God done something in your past that you just need to be reminded of that God is faithful? That you just need to be reminded that God is true to what he says? And if he truly says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that I'll always be with you, even in those times when God seems silent, know that he's there. Be so confident that the Lord is either right there with you or right there with you in your heart. God is there for you at all times. This generation will not get a sign, and that's what Jesus says. In the book of Matthew, same story, Jesus says this, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. If you know the story of Jonah, young dude, rebellious against God, ends up in the belly of a fish for 3 days until he spit out into Nineveh. You know the story. And Jesus says basically to the Pharisees, you're not going to get a sign except for the sign of the prophet of Noah, Jonah. What Jesus was saying, you'll see a sign when I die and spend 3 days in a tomb and then rise again. That's going to be your proof. That's going to be your proof, and that's going to be your sign that God came down to take on the sins of the world, died, spent 3 days in a tomb to rise again. Guys, if you're a spirit-filled Christian, you are an heir to the King. You are the one that believes in a God who died and rose again. And because of that, there is hope of our resurrected bodies, that there's more to this life. Jesus basically said, the proof is going to be in the pudding. The proof is in the fact that I'm going to conquer death. And if you truly understand and grasp that reality, when you think about your death here on earth, you're not afraid of it. You're not afraid of it. Your death here on earth is the beginning of the best part of your life ever to begin. And that's the reality. None of us want to die. None of us are going to pray for that, but don't you want to be in heaven? Don't you want to be in a place that's going to be more than you can even imagine? And that's what Jesus says in Matthew. He's like, the only proof you're going to get is the prophet of Jonah. The miracle. So the Pharisees, Jesus says, you're not going to get a sign. Your hearts are too hard. But then we get to this next section, verses 13 through 21, and it's the disciples. As they get into the boat, as he leaves the Pharisees, they get in the boat, and I just look at the disciples as somebody like myself. Busy in ministry. See, they had just left the feeding of the 4,000. A lot of ministry was taking place. They basically, this is crazy, had 7 large baskets full of fragments left over, and what did they bring with them in the boat? 1 loaf. Oops. And I mean, halfway across the Sea of Galilee, they're looking at each other going, we forgot to bring dinner. Oh, and they're panicking because the ministry is hard. And so they just forgot. And so they're in this position. They're like, uh-oh, if Jesus catches us, we're in trouble. And here, it's interesting. Let's look at it again. In verse 15, it says, then he charged them saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Jesus is still thinking about the Pharisees and the encounter that he had with them. The disciples are thinking about how hungry they are and their bellies are growing up. And then Jesus says, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. And they're thinking, he caught us. We forgot bread. Now, here's the thing that's so amazing. The Pharisees are a picture of chosen blindness. The picture here of the disciples is a picture of partial blindness. Listen, they know who Jesus is. They're just partially blind. They're just missing it. Because listen, if they were paying attention, and if we're paying attention, in chapter 6 of this book, he fed 5,000. In chapter 8, he fed 4,000. They have 1 loaf of bread in the boat with maybe 13 people. Is it enough? Do you think? Does it not cross their mind to go, man, we forgot bread. Hey, Jesus, could you do that bread thing? Because we're a little short. What is he? It's like, that's what Jesus wants. Jesus wants us to exercise our faith. Partial blindness is when we, as Spirit-filled Christians who have been in the grace of God and have experienced the blessings of God, get into a situation and once again go, God, are you going to leave me abandoned here again? That's what they're doing. They're saying, we're in trouble again, Jesus. What are we going to do? I would imagine if Jesus turned in, what do you think we should do? I think they'd say, can we turn around and get the 7 baskets of food? Instead of believing that Jesus can provide for them, and that's what Jesus is trying to show them. I am the bread of life. I supply you with everything you need. Where are you this morning when it comes to being blind to the things of God? Do you have an amazing amount of faith? Have you experienced God's blessing so much in your life that you can hang on to those during the still times of your today and your tomorrows? To truly believe, God, you're with me. God, I'd have nothing to worry about. Why is it when the Bible tells us not to worry, we just still just worry? We're just worriers. And guys, worry is an indication in your life that you need to get closer to the Lord. That's all it is. When you begin to worry, when you begin to fret, I don't know if I'm going to have enough money to pay my bills this month. And yet every month for the past year, God's provided for you. But yet here you are in this month, am I going to have enough? That's how we are. We tend to worry. And it's during those times of worry that we must get on our knees and say, God, I just got to trust you. You've been faithful to me. That's what God wants. He wants that encouragement. Instead, he looks at the disciples and look in verse 16. And they reasoned among themselves. Danger, danger. Circle that. Don't reason among yourselves. Don't do that. Don't get around someone else that's going to worry with you. Don't get around someone else that's going to complain with you. See, we like that. It's nice to have somebody. Hey, don't you think that was unfair what they did at work last week? Yeah, that was unfair. How come they did that? And it just becomes a problem. Instead of getting around someone who's going to remind you, hey, don't worry. God's got it. God's got this. In fact, I'll share this story. I've been communicating on our Haiti missions trip. The air flights keep, the prices keep going up and up. And I've been working with a travel agent, And it was probably a little over a week and a half ago, the prices dropped real low. And I tried to get everybody's names, as it were, on the passports to get the tickets, but by the time I got all the names, we had to abandon the airfare. It's been going up, 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 up ever since. And so the travel agent goes, oh, she's like, I think the next time they come down, we're going to have to buy. I said, she goes, and time's getting short. And I'm thinking, okay, what does that mean? So I said to her, I said, well, when's the absolute drop dead deadline where we have to actually purchase the tickets no matter what the price is? She said, well, that's a hard one to answer because around Thanksgiving they do a sale, but I'd hate to have you wait till then because if they don't go up, I'll feel bad. And so I emailed her back and I said, listen, God's got this. God's going to take care of this trip. And he's going to bring the prices down so that they make sense for us. And the reason I share that story is she emailed me right back and she goes, I just love it when you respond like that. I love it. It helps me get a perspective of who's really in control. And isn't that amazing to me? That how simply can you go, don't worry about it. Don't fret. God's got this. Can you imagine how much of an impact every single one of us in this room would have if we would have that kind of attitude? This coming week, maybe you think it's going to be a week that's from you know where. It's going to be I don't even want to get to this. Instead of looking and going, you know what? The week's going to be tough, but my God's tougher. My God's greater. My God's going to get me through. You know why? Because last week it was a tough week too. And look, I got through that one. It's believing and having faith in God. And that's what Jesus wants from the disciples. He wants them to believe. He knew they were going to come with one loaf of bread. He knew what the condition was going to be in their hearts. See, you and I, we get caught up in the physical needs so much, in our physical needs so much, that we miss the spiritual needs that God's trying to meet. Think about that. We get so caught up in the physical, we miss the spiritual. And that's what's happening with the disciples. Jesus is trying to tell them, listen, don't get caught up in the leaven of the Pharisees. Don't have a hard heart. Don't choose not to believe. He's saying, I need you to believe because I am the bread of life and I am here with you right now. Don't fear. And so he's looking at them going, how do you get miss this? Again, it's very unfortunate that it's written in our Bibles, but in verses 17 through 19, he's basically saying, what's wrong with you guys? Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Is your heart still hardened? I mean, I was amazed when they forgot the feeding of the 5,000 when he did the feeding of the 4,000. Here they are the very same day, and now they're missing it again. Don't you love the guys that Jesus picks? Smart group, don't you think? And now all of us sitting here going, I would have done better. I doubt it. And Jesus is saying, listen, guys, you're still not fully getting it. I fed the 5,000. I fed the 4,000. I'm going to provide for you now. And even when I'm gone, I'm going to provide for you again. And he's telling every single one of us in this room, have faith. Believe. Battle blindness by believing, by convincing yourself, by encouraging yourself. See, the reality is, faith only is increased if we stay within the Word of God. See, we may have all come in here this morning worrying about next week, worrying about what's going to be happening. And here God has given us some scriptures to encourage us, you know what? I got Jesus on my side. I got the Lord with me. I don't have to be fearful. I can be confident that he's going to guide me and direct me. See, they reasoned within themselves, and when they reason within themselves, they come to the wrong conclusion, didn't they? See, we need to spend time with God. Look at this verse. It's in James. If any of you lacks wisdom, is there anybody in here that lacks wisdom that wants to admit it? A couple of you are honest. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Aren't you glad it doesn't say, let him go to Bible college? Let him make sure that they pray every day for a week. Make sure they read their Bible every single day. What do we have to do to get wisdom? Ask. God doesn't make it hard. God doesn't say get down and kneel on pebbles in your shorts, in your bare knees. He doesn't want you to suffer. He doesn't want to make it difficult. He makes it easy. If you lack wisdom, and if you raise your hand and say, I lack wisdom, then what do? We ask God. And if we ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. What a powerful verse. You know the sad part? We don't ask. We admit we don't have wisdom. We admit we don't have the answers. We admit we don't know what God's doing, but here's a verse that tells us, well, if you don't know, just ask, and I'll give it to you. So this week, in the busyness of life, I encourage you to ask. Whatever it is you're going through right now, whatever it is you're feeling like maybe you're a little blind to battle that blindness, you just need to ask God. You just need to spend some time with the Lord, saying, Lord, show me, guide me, direct me. And he will. He will. See, Jesus says, you have ears, but you don't hear. You have eyes, but you don't see. And that just shows us we aren't going to be able to do it in our own strength. We're not going to be able to do it in the physical. We have to do it in the spiritual. Thirdly and finally, and the reason I had us read all the way through this blind man's story is just without this part, this whole context falls apart. And how tragic it would have been had I was really going to stop in verse 21. But this next section brings it all together. Again, let's read it one more time because it's so important and it's short. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everything clearly. Now, I don't want you to think that Jesus was incapable of healing the blind man the first time. What's amazing to me about this blind man is when we look at the Pharisees and we see that they chose to be blind, and we look at the disciples and we see that there's only partial blindness here, when we come to this blind man, we come to a person that was absolutely, completely restored of his blindness. And because of the way Jesus did it, you got to believe that God did it on purpose. He took a moment and he did not see clearly at first. Because see, this blind man came to Jesus completely blind, just like the Pharisees were. And then Jesus puts his hands on him and prays for him and he becomes partially seeing, just like the disciples. And then the third time he comes and he lays his hands on him completely and now he can see completely. Guys, this last section is a perfect picture of what we just read, but it's also a perfect picture of our lives. Every single one of us, before we came to Christ, were completely blind, weren't we? And that's the beauty of this picture, that this blind man comes, his friends bring them to Jesus. Again, we see that same picture. But notice their faith, and that's what Jesus sees. Jesus was willing to heal this blind man because of their faith, because of their belief. What did they say? They didn't say heal him of his blindness. They just said, put your hand upon him. Just put your hands on him. We need the touch of Jesus in our lives if we're ever going to be able to see. And so he comes blind like the Pharisees. He prays over him one time and begins to see partially like the disciples. And then finally he gets perfect clarity on the second part of the healing. Just like all of us, once we leave this earth, are going to see Jesus perfectly clear. See, guys, we see Jesus partially right now. We don't see fully. There's times our faith is strong, right? There's times we're confident. Christian, yeah. And then there's other times you're going, what am I doing? What is the Lord doing in my life? Why is this happening to me? I'm faithful, God. I love on people, God. Why are you allowing this to happen? It's partial faith. See, even the Pharisees were testing Jesus, and here Jesus is testing us to ask, where are you? Are you still blind? Are you still holding off to the things that God wants to show you? Are you still purposely choosing not to pay attention to this area of your life that God is trying to reveal to you like the Pharisees? Or are there times when your faith just wanes a little bit and you're not believing that Jesus is in the boat with you? And if you've just got a little bit of bread, he can make everything okay? Or are you like this blind man that's going, Lord, I'm going to do all I can to get as close to you as I can every single day. And I'm asking you, Lord, to put your hands upon me and touch me. And I'm asking you to open my eyes, God, not that I'll see partially, but that I'll see clearly, Lord, what it is you're doing. Guys, we have an opportunity to believe completely, to believe fully that Jesus is with us, and we don't have to be blind. We look out at the climate of this world, and we look at the division that's in this country, and we see everybody taking sides. What side are you on? Are you for the people, the ball players to kneel, or are you against it? Are you for Trump, or are you against it? Listen, everybody's got to pick a side. What side would Jesus be on? Be on his side, because he wouldn't take sides. He cares for everybody. And that's another thing we see as he sees this blind man. Notice what he does. He takes him by the hand. He leads him out of the town. Why does he say, don't go back in the town and don't even tell him what I did? Because I think it's in Matthew that Jesus actually cursed them. He says, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the miracles had been done in Sidon and Tyre that were done in you, they would still be here to this day. Jesus did so many miracles in this town, and that they still rejected him. And so he's like, don't even go tell them, because they don't care. Their hearts are too hard. And what I want us to all understand is that Jesus cares so much about you personally, that what's going on in your life personally, that he'll take you by the hand, and he'll lead you so that just he and you can have that one-on-one time, and that he can speak to you. Guys, I cannot encourage you enough to find time to be with the Lord. And I'm not saying anything crazy. I mean, if you've got a long drive to work, turn the radio off and just talk to God. Just thank him for a sunny day, a rainy day. Thank him for something in your life. Begin to spend that time with him and hear from him. Don't worry about your physical food. Worry about your spiritual food. You know, there's a lot of people that are on social media. And I hope you're not one of these people that just flip through your feed and, oh, there's a person posting a scripture. Let's fly by that one. See, this is something I believe is very important. Number one, the person that put the scripture there, God spoke it to their hearts. And they're putting it up there because it meant something to them. And that also might be a scripture that God's going to use to touch your life. So, forgive me. Pass by the food. And all the thing that people are eating. Oh, look what I'm 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 eating. Oh, look where I'm at. Look where I'm at. Look what I'm drinking. Look what I'm drinking. Oh, there's a verse. No, flip by all that and stop at the verse and read it. Meditate on it. Think about it. Say, God, are you trying to speak to me? Again, help me put this back up. What kind of sign do you need? God might get to you through Instagram and Facebook and cute kitties. I'm sorry, sorry. But if you're asking God to show you, listen, God will show you. If your heart is right. Listen, there was absolutely zero hesitation with this blind man. Do you understand that? Complete hesitation with the Pharisees. With the disciples, he's just saying, this is the group I got. I'm just trying to teach them. But with the blind man, he's like, this guy believes that I can do something. Do you believe God can do something in your life? Do you believe Jesus can do something in your life this week, today even? And with that kind of faith, God will meet with you, and God will speak to you, and he will show you. If we're going to battle blindness, the eyes of our hearts have to be open, and we will be anxious for listening to what God wants to speak to us. And when he speaks, begin to move. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for the beautiful picture of the condition of all of our hearts before we came to you, Lord. We were hardened towards it. And then now, once we've opened our hearts to you and invited you inside, sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't. We have partial blindness many times. So God, thank you for verses in the Bible that tell us that if we lack anything to just ask, if we need something to just ask, God, may we be a people that asks and asks and asks, that we seek after you. God, speak to us however you want to speak to us. Speak to us through your word. Speak to us through prayer. Speak to us through another spirit-filled Christian. God, speak. Let us hear. Let us obey. Let us follow after you. God, open the eyes of our hearts, God, that we might see you and that we might rightly represent you. We thank you for this time. Use it, we pray, in our days ahead. Remind us of what we've learned. Remind us of these things so that we too shall be faithful to the very end. To you be the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.